Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Hi everybody, Adrian here from Kashering Your Life. Welcome to High Cooking Corner. Today we're talking about meal planning, something I have over the last 4 or 5 years become quite expert at. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is, why do you need to meal plan? You know, what are your reasons for meal planning? Is it you hate cooking, you don't have time, you need to cut down on your spending, somebody's developed health issues, you've got health issues, whether it's diabetes or wanting to lose weight, any of those things would be a reason to cut down, to start meal planning. So the first thing I suggest people look at is sort of, how much do you think you spend in a month on groceries? That's your average. When I'm looking at families, I have to obviously look at how much they're earning, but also where they're buying their food and what kind of lifestyle they're living. So my budget for a client can be anywhere from 750 Rand a month per person all the way to 3,000 and 4,000 Rand per person. Obviously, depending on the client, depending on their lifestyle, depending on what their earnings are, those kind of things, and what their requirements are. Why did they want to start meal planning? The next thing you've got to look at is your health issues. When you're meal planning, you want to be able to plan your meals that are going to help you maintain a healthy lifestyle, whether you're healthy to start with or whether you've got diabetes, high blood pressure, you're just looking at becoming vegan, you want to look at plant-based lifestyles, any of those things, being able to meal plan is quite important. Another reason for meal planning is that you have some fussy eaters at your house. Now, the term fussy eaters I'm not mad about, because if you've got a tactile defensive adult or child, then they're going to be fussy eaters. They're not going to want food that is got bits or pieces in it. It's not right. They want something smooth. You're going to need to have somebody who wants, only that kind of texture on their food. These are important. Some kids, and adults only want certain color foods. And those are kind of things that really meal planning is going to help you deal with. Another reason for meal planning is that you work. I know from experience, working full time, then coming home and having to feed a family can be exhausting. Having to plan, their school lunches, your work lunches, your husband's work lunch, your partner's work lunch, whatever it is, it takes time. And meal planning is going to help with that a lot, because standing in front of the fridge in the first thing in the morning, trying to decide what to send with to school or to work is quite a difficult thing, even what for you to take. And you'd like to try a new lifestyle. So the first step to this is, once you've decided your meal planning and you've got your mindset and you're sort of in the right frame, it's time to meal plan. I need to simplify. I can't manage anymore. My first advice to everybody is, take an inventory. Inventory your kitchen. What do you have in your fridge? What do you have in your freezer? What do you have in your cupboards? Now, this can take a little bit of time, because my suggestion is, first of all, it's a great time to clear out your cupboards and to give them a good wipe down. We often forget, for those with chest freezers, to find the lost food in the bottom of your chest freezer. I know some people, even with big normal stand-up freezers, some of the food gets lost. You forget about it, gets put behind something, and it's gone. My first time taking inventory, I had food that had expired at least 5-6 years before the expiry date. So while I'm not too fussy in general on canned and packaged goods that have expired, stuff in your freezer can be slightly different. Things like fish should never be in your freezer for longer than 3 months. Fish can become poisonous if it's not stored correctly. So those are important things. And freezer burn for food, you know, food being in your freezer for too long gets this horrible freezer burn. Even if you've glad wrapped and you've done your best to avoid all that. So that's an important thing. The other thing with inventory is if you've got a small cupboard, it needs to be organized. If you've got a large cupboard, even more so, it needs to be organized because you might have space for extra things. You might be one of those lucky people with enough pantry space that you're able to buy in bulk and store. Another thing that happened with my first clear out was I found about 6 packets of opened lasagna sheets. And that's because every time I went to the store, I thought, oh, lasagna, let's make, but I can't remember if I've got the sheets. So I bought more sheets. I had, I don't know how much. Like I said, the first, you know, I really did not go to the shops for anything except milk, bread, cheese and other perishables for 3 months. There was no need. And one of the things that inventory does help you decide is when the kids open the cupboard or when you open the cupboard and you look at all these cans and you look at all these packets and you go, I've got nothing to eat. It's not really true. What it is you've got nothing that you can think of to make with what you've got left in your cupboard. Being kosher, one of my terrible weaknesses around food is if I see a new product that's kosher, I buy it. I had Vata Blomkies in a can. I have no idea why, because I have never made Vata Blomkies stew and have no intention of ever making it either, because I cannot see anyone in my house particularly liking that. Another thing that you need to look at when you're, you know, be careful of when you're buying is the specials. Something's on special and you think, oh, what a fantastic price, and you buy 4 or 5, put it in your cupboard and never use it. You know, it was a great idea at the time and you thought, oh, I can make stuff with it, I can do this with it. And it never comes around because whatever you wanted to make was going to take too long, you know, that kind of thing. So that's an important thing. And, you know, even in the best of cupboards, the cleanest of cupboards, stuff staying too long, especially packaged things like premixes, can get weevils. So insect infestation in your cupboard, if you're not doing a proper clean out every 2 to 3 months, can be, you know, cost you a lot of money because you're going to throw out a fortune of food that you could have used, you could have made stuff with. Muffin mix doesn't have to be muffins. My favorite is to get the chocolate muffin mix and turn that into a brownie. I'm still not very good at making brownies, but they really, with a package, it's very hard to go wrong. So that's the things that we were finding in the cupboard. I had at the time about 4 different bottles of cooking wine, balsamic vinegar, cooking sherry, sesame oil, which thank goodness, you know, nowadays that's not a problem. I go through a bottle of sesame oil at least every 2 months. Sometimes, you know, if we're really on a Asian food kick, I can go through it a lot quicker. And everybody likes the flavor and none of us are allergic to it. So that's a good thing. So this is why doing an inventory is great. And what I suggest is when you do the inventory, you say how many you have and whether it's open or closed. And if you've opened or closed it yourself, that's an important thing. Your next step in meal planning is to make your life easier. And this is where you have to get the family involved. It's very important. Start off with something simple. I do this every 3 months because I've noticed everybody's taste changes and you never know. One day they're eating one thing and the next day they won't touch it because, no, it's not theirs. Fussy eaters, once again, you've got to help, let them help you make your life easier. Any allergies, you need to take into account anybody who's got allergies. And then if you suddenly get vegetarians or you're gone vegan for health reasons or for whatever reason it is, that kind of needs to be planned in as well. So getting your family involved is very important. And what we do here is I make the kids and my husband list five meals, not ingredients, five meals that they absolutely love and five foods that they will not touch at all. Don't want to know about it. We'll be back right now after the ad break.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Hi again, Adrian here. So we were talking about getting your family involved in meal planning. So besides the listing the five meals that they absolutely really love, they need to now list as well five foods that they absolutely will not eat. Not on pain of death, just about. I have to admit so far I've been pretty lucky. One or two will not eat fish. I've got the vegetarians that I've got to think about, but the one vegetarian will eat fish, but she only likes the fried fish. The other vegetarian will eat tuna. Reluctantly, they'll both eat fish fingers, and most of the family will have fish cakes if I buy them. I must admit, I don't buy it often. It's, you know, but it's nice to have for kids for lunch, that they can, you know, stick in an oven when they get home. It's quick. It's easy. Makes life a little bit easier. So that's an important thing with getting your family involved. My next step to making my meal plan is something that makes life so much easier. I call it my meal plan template. I have a 2-week template. And it sort of sets the tone. I started it with supper and it sort of sets the tone of what's going to happen for the whole day for your meals. So breakfast, lunch, supper, snacks, anything like that. What happens is with this template is you're able then to choose the foods that take longer on days that you've got more time. When you're in a hurry, if you've got extra murals, you can plan around that. So it's a list of Monday to Sunday. And then what I've done is we call it the theme. I've got Monday is meat free. So my Mondays are actually vegan nights. There's no fish. There's no meat. There's no, you know, products at all. Although I must admit, yesterday I did put eggs in my vegetable poke bowl. So that is sometimes, you know, just for the extra protein. And that was only because I didn't have nuts on hand. I did sprinkle a few seeds that I had left over from health bread, but no nuts available for the protein. So that was something we did, and that's how we do it. So Monday, as I said, is vegan. Tuesday, we do vegetarian. That is my fish night. Whether they like it or not, we're having fish. Every now and again, we'll get a fish dish that somebody actually enjoys, and that needs to go onto your permanent list, and that's what I call the recipe bank. The recipe bank is where you keep your list of recipes or meals that the family all liked. So that's your big votes. You know, we're seven. So for me, if more than four people liked it, it goes in the recipe bank because majority rules. Wednesday night for us is our mince night. Any mince. We've got cottage pie, tacos, sloppy joes, shepherd's pie, and for those who don't know, shepherd's pie and cottage pie are different. Cottage pie is beef, shepherd's pie is lamb, so whichever mince I've got on hand, burgers, boerewors, anything that is made with mince, that comes on mince night. Then Thursday and Friday, what I do is I alternate. So if we're having chicken on Thursday night, then we'll have red meat on Friday night. And if we're having red meat on Thursday night, then Friday night supper is chicken. Saturday, I have to admit, Saturday night is help yourself to what's in the fridge. I'm not cooking. I'm, in fact, not even eating. So, you know, if there's any leftovers from Shabbos, it's a good time to get rid of it. If there's any leftovers from the week, now's the time to make do. And with your meal plan template, you can use this as lunch or you can use it as supper. Sunday. What do I do on Sundays? Okay, so Sunday night is kids cook. Basically, that means we're getting eggs for supper. Now, the myth around how many eggs you can have every week is, you know, eggs are eggs. It's really not going to affect your cholesterol. So we have eggs whenever anybody wants an egg. I always have eggs at home. So Sunday night, like I said, is the egg night. It's generally, you know, whoever's making, everybody makes for themselves, and most of the family choose to make eggs, whichever they want, way they want. My son will probably make an omelette. My two of my girls will have poached eggs. You know, another two will have scrambled eggs. Whatever there is, my husband will boil a couple of eggs. So that's Sunday night. Sunday night is sort of, you know, a scrounge around night. And there's always leftovers. You know, once again, second night of leftovers, nothing wrong with it. Although I must admit, we don't really, since I've started meal planning, we hardly have leftovers because I usually make enough just for that night. If you're planning or if you hate cooking, my suggestion is make double and freeze one. That's the words I've heard once is cook once, eat twice, which I think works perfectly. So it's important that you do that. Now, the meal plan template is not your entire meal plan. It's your main ingredient. That's why I said, like, Monday is vegan, Tuesday is vegetarian, Wednesday is mince, Thursday is chicken or beef, or should I say red meat, Friday is red meat or chicken, Saturday is leftovers, and Sunday is, I call it egg night. And that just sort of gives you a basic idea. So for those people who don't like meal planning, and they say, no, it's going to be too rigid, or I like to eat out, this is the perfect thing for you, because you can then go to the shop and know, okay, tonight we're not having any meat or fish. It's Monday. Let's see what vegetarian ideas I can come up with while I'm at the shop. Okay, for those of you who are doing that, wow, it's not something I can do. I need to know what I'm going to be making, because otherwise I just spend whatever there is. So that's an important thing. Then you're going to draw up your meal plan. So a few things to consider on your meal plan is, have you drawn up your template so that you have a basic idea? What's in your cupboard? There's no point in having a meal plan if you have no idea what you have on hand. Your family staples. Your family staples are things that you've always got. Things that you're never without. My house, it's a can of corn and a can of peas, because it makes an instant salad. You just add mayonnaise. Then another thing, and this is where your family likes and dislikes came in, where everybody gave you your ideas, you'll find things that they all have in common. So you're able then to make food that almost everybody is going to like. Like I said, majority rules. So in my house, 4 out of 7, then that's what you're getting. And that does help. A next decision you have to make with your meal plan is, are you going to do weekly or are you going to do monthly? Now, I've done both. I struggle. I cannot do weekly. First of all, I hate shopping. So that's for me, monthly works best. And with the monthly, I can then do my online shopping. I know a lot of people complain about online shopping and that you don't always get what you want, but there are a few tricks that you need to learn along the way to do your online shopping. So for me, monthly works better. It's easier for me to plan, I find. But a lot of people prefer to go week by week because of their lifestyles, the extramurals, all those kind of things. The next thing you've got to decide is, are you planning for one meal a day, 2 meals a day, or 3 meals a day? So is your meal plan only for your dinners because that's your biggest meal and that's your biggest worry? Or are your meal plans for, maybe you're on an eating plan, a new eating plan, or diet, trying to lose weight? You need to then know, I need breakfast. So for this week, I'm having these things for breakfast. I'm having this for lunch. I'm having that for supper. And you also need to decide, are you including your snacks? So during the year, my meal plan will consist of school lunch, after school lunch, and supper. I ignore breakfast. Breakfast is cereal because 9 times out of 10, it's eaten on the run and it's eaten dry because everybody got up late or they've been messing around and nobody's got anything sorted. But if you'd like your family to start off your day with a good meal, then meal planning is great because it now allows you to know when to wake up and how long you've got to prep. And it'll also allow you to make the decision, should I get it ready the night before? And that's a huge help. That's something. And then, like I said, the snacks. Are you including your snack breaks? So for diabetics who are meant to eat 6 small meals a day, having the snack break included is great. For those of you who are calorie counting, okay, once again, the meal plan, knowing what to do, that's an important thing. We'll be right back after this break.
Stay relevant and up-to-date. This is 101.9 High FM.
Okay, let's carry on. So we've talked about drawing up the meal plan. And now what you need to do is have a look at what you've done. So an example of a meal plan for me for 1 week is, and this is a meal plan that we've had previously in the house, warm roasted butternut salad with a tahini dressing. And for those who want to know where I get my recipes from, a lot of my recipes come from the Fresh Living magazine, from Yumly and from allrecipes.com. All of those are fantastic recipe sources. So Monday night was warm roasted butternut salad with tahini dressing. The Tuesday we did hake fish cakes with green salad. Now these fish cakes were ones that I actually made from scratch. They weren't boxed ones. Then Wednesday night we did a loaded meatloaf. Basically what that means is whatever vegetables could be hidden in the meatloaf were. So I usually grate carrots. I'll grate a carrot in. I'll grate some baby marrow in. Dice up an onion, put some tomato in, mash up some beans for some extra, you know, fiber, and to keep you full for longer. It also means I use less mince than if I just made it with plain meat, with mince meat. Thursday night was a lamb curry with basmati rice and then some sambal, so chutney, coconut, poppadoms, and then your cucumber and onion and tomato little salad. And this is why your meal planning comes in, so that you know what to buy for your sambals. And then for Friday night supper, we had baby marrow soup. We had couscous. I did patty pans, a chutney chicken, and for dessert was what we call an Eton Metz bomb. It's a fancy name for basically mashed up meringue, some berries, and in most cases, Ollie Whip or whipped cream. So those are the kind of things. I'm lucky that I can get away with meals like this. My family are pretty good at trying out new things. So that's, you know, a typical, it's not a typical dinner plan, but it is a common one. Now what you're going to do is draw up your shopping list. You've done your meal plan. You know what you want. You've chosen your meals. The next thing is you've got to look at your ingredients. So when I draw up a meal plan for a client or for the subscribers or whatever, I take the recipe. So the easiest thing is the loaded meatloaf. Let's use that one because I know that recipe quite well. I know I need eggs. I know I need mincemeat. If I'm going to load it, I know I need some baby marrows. I need at least one carrot. I need tomato. I need an onion. I need my herbs and spices. And that helps me decide. Right. So that's my main thing, my meatloaf. What am I going to serve with the meatloaf? Now you can kind of get away with this because you've put the vegetables and your things into your meat itself to make it loaded. Vegetables, you don't really need them, especially for families who don't like vegetables. You've hidden your vegetables very well and it's away. But some people would like a visible starch or even just a plain salad, which is fine as well. It might seem little, but my meatloaf recipe which I will include. You can find it on the Chai FM website, is mincemeat, oat bran, speckled beans, my baby marrow, my carrots, my onion, my tomato as usual, and then the different spices. And it's a pretty full meal. So I've got my oat bran if I wanted my carbs. I've got the beans for carbs and for fiber. And so everything is included. So all you need is a little salad to go with it. It makes your planning easier. And this is a meal that you can do quite quickly. You can also do it the day before when you've got, if you've got time, and just have it ready in the freezer. In the fridge. Just remember that if you've bought your mince ready frozen, and once you've defrosted it, you cannot refreeze it. You need to cook the meatloaf that night. You can always cook the meatloaf, put that in the freezer once it's cooked for use at another time. It's a very handy thing to keep in your freezer. I know when people hear meatloaf, they all look at it funny because, well, nobody really likes meatloaf. But I can make my meatloaf sweet. I can make my meatloaf savory. Sometimes I'll add a little sort of Middle Eastern twist and make it a little spicy curry using cumin and things like that. And mincemeat is just, it's versatile. So you can use it for different things. So once I've done that, and you draw up your shopping list based on your day. So Monday was vegetarian or vegan. This is what we were going to have. These are the ingredients I needed for this recipe. Tuesday, this is what we're having. These are the ingredients I need for that recipe. And I find it easier then to draw up my shopping list by meal rather than just trying to remember what I need and what I don't need. And then you get to the shop and you can't remember if you've got this at home, if you've got that at home. So I do my shopping in my cupboard first. Let's put it that way. So what is shopping in your cupboard? My shopping in my cupboard is this. I've drawn up my meal plan. I've drawn up my grocery list. Now I go into my cupboard, into my freezer, into my fridge, and I actually see what I've still got. So I'm making meatloaf or meatballs or whatever. It's going to need oat bran. But I don't need to buy oat bran every time I'm going to make meatloaf or every time I'm going to make meatballs because it's a big box. It's going to last me a few meals, at least six. So this is where you've got to go shopping at home first. Maybe you've got extra mince at home. You don't need to buy mince. Do you have onions? Do you have a tin of onion and tomato mix if you don't have time for shopping? It changes the flavor slightly, but you can still use it. The next thing you need to look at is, so you've now done your shopping at home. Now it's time to go shopping at the grocery store. But before you leave home, once again, I'm going to tell you to have a look at your specials. So we want to know, do you have any coupons on your Smart Shopper app that you can upload and get money back? Then Woohoo Deals, I'm still learning how to reuse it because it's changed and now it works on points instead of cashback. So that's a bit of a learning curve and hopefully I'll get that right. Then there's something called Snap and Save. See what's on there. And you can use Snap and Save pretty much at any store that you need. Unfortunately, Nussbaum's, Moishe's, Maxi's, Kosher World, none of the kosher shops are actually on it. So you can't go to Bait Yourself. You can't, you can go to Spa, but I often find Spa doesn't have what we need or what they've got on special isn't there. So those are the things. So looking at your coupons, looking at what discounts are on, having a look at the specials during the week. Now remember, your template is not, your meal plan is not made in stone. We use pen and paper, or if you're more digitally inclined, it's on your computer, it's on your phone, wherever it is. You can change that at any time and go with what's on special. So when your weekly newspaper comes around and it's got all the specials inside, you can always draw up your meal plan based on that. That's a huge way to save money. So if it comes to you on a Tuesday or a Thursday, so I would prefer it on a Thursday, but I think mine comes on a Tuesday. you open it up and you plan for that week. You go, okay, well, here are all the things that are on special. Now, if it's things that don't go off, then you must buy them then. You can keep them for next week. If it's fresh produce, you need to look at, do I need it this week? Is it in my meal plan? Do I want to change my meal plan to fit the special? And that's another way to save money and also make your life easier. So that's it. For me, like I said, I do monthly online shopping. And here's why I do online. I can go to the shops anytime I like. There are no queues. It doesn't matter what I'm dressed in. I can be in my pajamas with my glass of wine, my cup of tea, my hot chocolate, or for those who drink coffee, whatever I want to be drinking at the time. I don't have to put on shoes. I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't have to pay the parking attendant who really isn't going to save my shopping. I'm also saving the environment. When I do online shopping, I don't take plastic bags. That's like 20 cents a saving for every plastic bag. Now, I do mine for the month, so it could lead up to about 25 plastic bags that I haven't used. So that's big. Also, you don't impulse buy when you shop online. You're not wandering up and down the aisles. You're not looking at stuff. You're not seeing specials that really you could have lived without. And that's a trick that the shops all do. They you'll see, you'll have your smart shopper, or suddenly you have a little card that says, smart shoppers get an extra this much off. And you buy it. And then you get home and, well, what did I buy it for? I don't need it. It sits in the cupboard. Eventually you throw it out and you've wasted money. You still get to earn your points if you're shopping online for those shops that do it. Unfortunately, Spa and Checkers don't yet allow have online shopping, but Woolworths and Pick and Pay both do. And that's a huge thing. And so does Clicks and so does Dis-Chem. And I know for those who do Dis-Chem, they've got a lot of health food products and a lot of kosher products that you can buy. The difference with Dis-Chem and Clicks is that you order it online and it's delivered to your nearest store. You have to go fetch it. Macro and Pick and Pay deliver to you. Now, with Macro and Pick and Pay, what I like about the online is I can have both sites open and price shop. So I can see who's got cheapest. I want 5 kilos of sugar. Whose is the cheapest? That's who you're getting it from. And Macro do have their loyalty card. I haven't yet worked out how the Macro points work or anything like that, but that's been my shopping as well. And for those who work full day, what Macro have is they've got drop points where they deliver the groceries there, and then they send you a code to open the box to get your groceries out. Each person gets like a little locker. It does mean that you can't buy too much because there isn't a lot of space, but it does definitely help out. And it makes life easier. And also with shopping online, if you shop far enough in advance, say about a week before you need the stuff, you can choose the cheapest shopping delivery time. Pick and Pay does give you options of different fees for their delivery. So that's an important thing. Like I said, when we do a shopping, when I draw up my shopping list, I draw it up using the recipes that I'm going to do. So, and that really, really helps a lot. You know, if I'm using, say, my curry powder, then I know I've got curry powder in, and that's the way it works. So when we were talking now about, using Woohoo, Snap and Save, all of those things. Now, Snap and Save, you can use more store in a whole lot of stores. You've just got to be specific and you've got to be careful how you take your photos, and you need to remember to take the photo of your till slip, send it in, and then get your cash back, which you can save up. I usually use mine only at Pesach, so I keep saving until it gets to Pesach, and then I've got a couple of hundred rand towards my Pesach shopping. Like I said, Woohoo Deals has changed from cashback now to points, and I'm still working out how to do it. I think for the first shop, you need to have done 150 points well, the equivalent of 150 rands worth of points to get your discounts. Smart Shopper, I know there was a whole thing about when Smart Shopper changed, but what's happened is they now watch what you're shopping for. They're looking at what are you buying. And then you tend to get more specials on, or more coupons on the things that you actually buy than, you know, what you don't need. Every now and again, there'll be stuff on there that you can't use or it's just not worth it. So there's that. Woolworths have their reward program as well. The Woolworths programs are different depending on what card you've got. So the basic one is the Woolworths reward card. This is just a loyalty card. You swipe it at the till, that's it. The next one up is the Woolworths card itself, where it's kind of like a credit card, so they do charge you interest, but you can only use it at Woolworths. And then they've got the Woolworths credit cards and so forth. And each of those cards have different reward programs and tell you how much you're going to get back. Your Spa has your loyalty card, so those are Spa specific. So if you're going shopping at Spa, you need to know that that specific Spa, you must have that specific loyalty card. So if you go to two different ones, then each store will have their own one. And then you get a Spa Rewards tag. Now that works for all spas across the country. So that tag, but that works on what they've got on special. So if you buy something that's on special on the reward program, you get the special price. If you don't have the card, you pay the normal price. The loyalty cards are cashback rewards. Your credit cards also, please remember that most credit cards have a system of credit where you get your points on how much you spend. So far from what I've worked out, it looks like the three cards that have the best ones are F&B eBucks, your Standard Bank U-Count, and there is a third one, the Discovery Vitality. Those are the three best ones. The others also have their programs, but I must tell you, the earning potential is very small. Right, our next thing about shopping is planning your route. Now, with petrol going up every single month as it has, even though they say next month it's coming down or sometime it's coming down, it's not going to come down enough. It's still a lot of money. So plan how you do your shopping. I tell all my clients you should only go to the shops once a week. That means that you should go to every single shop you need to in a day. You shouldn't be in and out of the shop. And I've seen it with a client who actually used to go sometimes twice a day to the same shop, and each visit was a couple of hundred rands. I grew up with something like that. The store where we lived knew my mother by her first name because she was there so often. I don't think the stores in my area know who I am even, because I try and avoid it as much as possible. And if it is something that needs to be shopped for, I try and send somebody else. I hate it. So here's what your where it is. So planning your route is, where is your store? Okay, where are your fruit and vegetable stores? Where do you buy your milk and bread? Where do I buy my special treats? Where do I buy my general groceries? Now, having a list like that and having it kept somewhere helps when, God forbid, you get sick or something like that and you can't do the shopping. Somebody else is then able to see, okay, she likes to get her fruit and veg only from this place. She only gets her bread and milk from that shop. They're able then to follow your routine and help save you money. The next thing is, where do you live and where are you going? So let's take it from Sydenham area. You need your meat, you need your bread, you need treats, you need fish. Let's say those are the things you need. And a cake. So from Sydenham area, you would go to the closest butchery or to the closest store, whichever one it is, to buy your meat. Once you've done that, you need to then see, does that store have what you want extra, like your other shopping things, and how much more is it going to cost you to buy it at that store or to travel to the next one where it may be cheaper for what your petrol is going to cost. If it's just a block down the road, then it doesn't matter. You know, those kind of things. Also, how much time have you got? So that's what you need. And I try to plan my routes that it's almost like a circle. I start off and I work my way around until I get back home. Another thing that you need to take into consideration when you're planning your route and planning your shopping is your frozen and fresh produce. So if you've got milk, always try and leave that shop for the last possible minute, because driving around with fresh milk or driving around with meat in your car and having that your first stop and you've still got four other shops to go to, it's going to go off. And I don't know about you, but I've never been able to go into a store without meeting at least three people I know, unless I go there like literally as the door opens. And even then, there's a good chance that I'm going to meet somebody that I know. So when you're planning your shopping, it's important that you plan it in a route that is going to use less petrol, take less time, and avoid your food from going off. Like I said before, we were talking previously, I was saying that I prefer online shopping to in-store shopping. Now, you need to be careful with that. Some shops will only have specials in-store and other shops have specials only online. You need to know and need to watch out for those things. And also some stores like really have food that's going to go, well, not going to go off, food that has expired. It's got a sell-by date. It's you've got to have sold it by today. They suddenly mark it down 50%. You can save a fortune by doing that. I will carry on again with this in a few minutes. Let's just go to an ad break.
Stay relevant and up to date. Informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Okay. Thank you. And we're back now. So let's have a look. Now what we're going to have a look at is how to work out your budget. So how to work out what do you need for a monthly spend? Like I said to you, I've got clients, non-Jewish clients, who can do 750 Rand per person per month, all the way up to 3,000-4,000 Rand per person per month. All that depends on what you're earning, how many people are in your house, where do you want to shop, are you fussy about your brands? That all makes a difference. So I always say, clients, write down what you think your monthly budget is. Then go shopping and find out. You keep your till slips for the whole month. Keep them, pack them away, have a look what there is, and you'll see, now, did I spend that? Am I spending more? Am I spending less? So on average, my suggested budget for a person, and this for me includes toiletries. I say if you're keeping kosher, you're looking at about 2,500 Rand a month per person. If you're not keeping kosher, you can bring it down to about 1,500 Rand per month per person. Now, this is for somebody who needs to live within a budget but can afford that kind of money. So if you're looking at a family of four, you're looking at 6,000 Rand a month if you're on the lower end, the 1,500 Rand end budget. I have had families who can do for less and have done for less. But once again, they're not fussy about what brand you're using. They will buy whatever's cheapest. They also tend to then be able to have the space to buy in bulk. So when it's on special, they buy a ton and they keep it. And that does really, really work. So if you've got the space, do it. If you don't have the space, it's not worth it tripping over food and groceries all over because you've got nowhere to put them. Once you've got that, you're going to look at your first monthly spend. Now, remember, your first monthly spend is just a trial and error thing. You're still learning how to do it. You don't know what's going to come up. You have no idea, you know, what my monthly spend is, but this is what I think it is. Once you've done your first month, and you've collected your till slips and you've added everything together. Put that down as your budget. That is what you plan. If you still think it's very, you know, it's more than you can afford, if you're trying to cut back on your budgeting, then you need to look at where you can change things. What can you change? Please, looking at a health point of view, be careful with cheaper brands. They're not always better. You know, sometimes the more expensive one is actually healthier and you'll use less because the flavor, it's got more flavor in it that, you know, so people will use less. We do a special treat, say, for our household is hot chocolate. The hot chocolate, you're allowed one cup a week and I put it away where it can't be found. So nobody can help themselves for the rest of the week, which means I can get away with a kilo of hot chocolate a month. And you know, it's not a cheap treat, but at least everybody's got a treat. Just remember that your treats need to fit into your budget. So when you're budgeting your food, you need to look at things. How often do you get your takeaway coffee? How often do you buy ready-made meals? How often do you do takeaways? Those have to come into your grocery budget because those are foods and it's what everybody in the house is eating. And it's an important part of your meal. To make it a little easier on how to do your budgeting is I say add all the till slips up once a week. And at the end of the month, you've got it on a piece of paper or on a spreadsheet and you can follow it easier. You can also then look at how your monthly spending is going and see, do I spend more at a certain time of the month? Do I spend less? You know, why did I suddenly spend so much in week two of this month when the rest of the month was so much less? And you can go back, look at your meal plan. Did I choose meals that were slightly more expensive for the whole week instead of just having a slightly more expensive meal just for once in that week? Was there something special on? Was there a party or a birthday? What happened that week? And then you know to plan for that for future. If it's a tuck shop, if it's school, if it was the kids went on camp. You know, heaven forbid any of our children should starve on the bus ride to wherever they went. And I know we're getting, most families are now starting to look at thinking about camps, the different camps and the tuck shop money. And I know my daughter has often said, like, some of the kids at camp have up to 2,000 rand spending money for a 3-week camp. That's a lot of money for snacks. You know, teaching them responsibility and that like that. And I just feel that when kids are at camp, they tend to buy whatever's available. They go wild. Whereas if they've got a limit and you say, right, that is your limit, you'll find that they learn to teach themselves to cut down. Now, okay, yes, some kids will run out and you'll get a frantic call. Oh, I need more money in the tuck shop, but it doesn't happen that often. And then also not sending too much cash with, because when they do go on outings, they buy the most ridiculous things. So that's an important part of your meal planning, is knowing that these kind of things are available and that, you know, this is what you need. Another thing to look at, when you're doing your meal planning is looking for things that you want. Say you've decided, I remember at one stage we did, our meal plans were on a Wednesday. I had a different country. So we kind of learned that, you know, the different meals for each country, and everybody got to choose a country they wanted. And we tried to find a recipe that would suit our family. Another good thing with the templates is when you're looking, you can look at what your extramural activities are. I know, like, for me, it's my work schedule. I will come home sometimes on a Monday at 6 o'clock. Now, I want to be finished eating by 7. So the food that's got to be made on a Monday has to be quick. It's It's got to be ready in from prep to the table in 30 minutes. Otherwise, it's not happening. It's just, you know, we can land up, you know, going till 8 o'clock and having supper, which is really an unhealthy thing. So this is why the meal plan is so important. And like I said, for those of you who don't like meal planning, one of the great things is it's not written in stone. Okay. So you can change it. I did a meal plan for somebody. It was actually quite a funny one. I did one for a single guy who eats out most nights. So we did the meal plan according to what restaurants had what specials. So on Monday night, he went to this place because there were burgers where you could buy one, get one free. Another place on Tuesdays had the fish half price. On, I think it was Thursdays, there was one meat restaurant that had, well, not meat restaurant, one steakhouse that had a special on. So he went there. And that was how it worked out. So he didn't eat at home much, but he landed up saving money even though he was eating out every day. And remember with a meal plan, you've got to do what works for you. Okay. If it's not working for you, you need to change it. Every family has their own dynamics. Every family has kids doing things. Some families have older kids, some have younger kids. Some of these families have the boys bodybuilding or weightlifting. All these things are important, and that's why meal planning makes a big difference. Remember, your template is going to help you a lot because you'll know what your main ingredient is for that week or for that meal, and you can work around that. So, you know, some of us like to plan. I'm great with planning. Not always fantastic with implementation, but with meal planning, I've kind of learned to do that. But other people really do not like being tied down to a plan. So for them to have the template where they know the main ingredient, that's going to be a huge, huge help. And that's, you know, how it works. After this, I'm going to just talk about meal prep, but let's go to an ad break.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep you informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. I'm now going to just, we've been talking about meal planning and things like that. I want to talk about something called meal prepping. So meal prepping is and it's a great one if you've got the time or the patience to do it. Meal prepping is where you prep whatever your ingredients are for the whole week. Okay. I do like a mini meal prep. I'll do it for the night before for the next day. If it's a meal that's going to require a lot of chopping and cutting, though, that's something that's important. So if you're making use of the, promos, those combo specials at your vegetable store, meal prepping is quite a good thing there because what I say is, if you can buy it frozen at the supermarket, you can freeze it yourself. So if you're going to buy a 10-kilo bag of potatoes, say, one of the things is either to share it with another family who's small. So if you've got two families with four people in each, then a 9-kilo bag of potatoes is a lot of potatoes. Even my 7 would probably, we make it, it lasts us, but not long. We don't have leftover potatoes at the end of the month, but that's how it would work. So what I would suggest for like a family of four is finding a friend and two of you going into those combos. 3 kilos of carrots is a lot of carrots. So unless you're on a carrot diet, it's not, it's not viable. So why are you spending the money? But you can freeze all these things. It's just learning how to prep them to freeze. And most of these vegetables will need some kind of blanching. So what that means is usually it's put into boiling water for a while and then into ice bath to cool it down as fast as possible. But each thing is different. So potatoes and potatoes, butternut, and that kind of dense root vegetable needs a little bit of cooking. So I would say 5-6 minutes in boiling water, take it out, freeze it as quickly as you can. So into ice water, drain it, dry it, put it in a bag, and put it in your freezer. And you've now got par-cooked vegetables ready for whenever you need. You just take that bag out. Even onions can be done. Tomatoes, unfortunately, not. But like I said, if you can find it in the freezer aisle at your local store, you can freeze it at home. It does take a while. You know, if you've got help at home, if you can wrangle some teenagers into helping you peeling and cutting, it'll take a lot quicker and you can do it together. I've seen in the store bell peppers frozen, onions, all sorts of things in the freezer, and they retain their texture and they're great. Getting help, you need to find somebody who will follow your instructions, because there's nothing more frustrating in your cupboard than finding somebody who isn't listening or cuts things wrong. I remember getting a whole lot of bell peppers, and I can't remember why, but my family did all the prep work for me and froze it. And what landed up was, you could see that three different people had cut up these peppers because they were cut up in three different ways. And then it was stuck into a plastic bag, a shopping plastic bag, and put into the freezer. So it wasn't sealed properly, so ice got in, and it just changes the texture and spoils it a little bit. One of the things with having your kids help you with that kind of meal prep is the kids learn what the vegetables are, and they learn what it comes from. So if you're going to buy your 9 kilos of potatoes, and you can then turn them into wedges, fries, you can do them as little rounds. You can cut them into like round pieces and put them in. You can cut them into chunks and then put them aside and take some other vegetables to put them for roasting vegetables. And those big chunks are great. You can make it into soup. But the kids then learn what each vegetable is and what you can do with it. And it helps, having them help you make the food tends to help them understand food and sort of look forward to eating what they helped you with. And that's a thing. I follow a lot of these meal prep people online, and they often prep for the whole week. They cut up their vegetables and put them into separate containers for the whole week. But meal prep doesn't have to be like that. Meal prep can be the night before. So tomorrow you're having roasted vegetables with your Friday night meal. So why not cut up all your vegetables, have them ready on Thursday already, so that on Friday everything just goes together and most of the work is done. And really, if it's, you know, certain vegetables, you can do them the beginning of the, like on the Monday for Friday. They're not going to go off. They're not going to go rotten. The one thing I would not prepare in advance, unless you're going to parboil them and then freeze them, is onions. Onions, once they are cut, cannot be kept in the fridge. They tend to pick up everything. Besides stink out your fridge, they tend to pick up all the bacteria, and they go quite funny looking. So that's an important thing when you're doing meal prep. And I find that helps. If I come home and I know everything's ready, a meal that should take you 20 minutes to get ready can take you 5, because the 15 minutes the night before is already done, before you go to bed. I love doing that. When I'm using my slow cooker, then I'll put everything in the pot the night before. The pot goes into the fridge, and just before I go to work on the mornings, I'll put my slow cooker on, and when we come home 8 hours later, the house smells so amazing, and you don't have to worry about cooking. It's already done. And you didn't have to do anything to make that delicious meal. So that's quite a thing. I must admit, my biggest meal prep thing is if I'm making tongue, and I can hear a few of you going, ah. Okay, so I love tongue. We don't have it often because it's so small it doesn't feed anyone in my house. But the prepping of tongue can put me off. So I often cook it the day before and prep it then, so that the next day when I'm slicing it and putting the gravy on and cooking it in the oven, sort of the prepping part, the peeling and everything is already in the back of my mind and I've forgotten about it. And that's, you know, how meal planning works. So just to recap before we finish up here is that you've got to remember with meal planning, it's not written in stone. It's got to suit your lifestyle. So you've got to take into account whether you're in the car at supper time or running up and down for extra murals or whatever it is you're doing. You need to take into account what are your family like to eat, what don't they like to eat, what health issues there are. Take into account your budget. Take into account what do you already have at home and what do you need. You know, a great website to get ideas from. Like I said, I use Yumly and All Recipes for my, you know, for my searches. But there was a recipe place that I came across called myfridgefood.com, and that had the most amazing ideas. And what you do is you put in the ingredients that you've got at home, and it'll search the web for recipes to find out what you've got. The other recipe sites, I'll say, okay, I want meatloaf. Then it'll look for me for meatloaf recipes. Whereas myfridgefood.com, you could say there, I've got mince, I've got onion, I've got a bell pepper. And you put that into your thing and it'll find a recipe that contains all three to use. So it helps you use up what you've already got. And that's all we have for today. So I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed the meal planning. And I hope you start to implement it and it makes as much a bigger difference in your lives as it has in mine. It really saved us a fortune. We're all a lot healthier for it. We're now getting through winters without flu because we're eating better. We're eating more fresh food. And I know people always say, oh, fresh fruit and vegetables, it's expensive. These healthy lifestyles are expensive. But if you're meal planning, it's not expensive at all. In fact, it's saving you money. And that's a big and important thing. So until next time, stay well and plan well.